friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine.
So I don't know whether Men Without Hats is the ringtone for Eric Gilmore, the public safety director for Escambia County, or anybody who works in public safety. But if it were, I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be kind of impressed. Eric Gilmore is the director of public safety for Escambia County. He joins us now. Wes is off for a couple of weeks doing some other things. He's got some appointments he had to take care of. Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing this morning? It is not my ringtone, but I do like it. Thank you, sir.
Well, maybe in the future. We have a lot of stuff to get to with you. Can we start with this? First, kind of a cool note. We've got new ambulances in hand. We got more ambulances coming, and the county is going to either authorize an additional, like we got 8 in hand, 4 more coming, and either did authorize or is considering authorizing another 8. Are my numbers right?
So your numbers are a little skewed, a little off, but okay. Here they are. So we did receive 8 ambulances a couple of weeks ago, so they're in the county. We're getting those upfitted now. The last board meeting, the commissioners approved to buy 6 more ambulances.
Okay.
And, yes, sir, 6 more. And then we're actually working to refurb or re-chassis 3 of the internationals that we have right now that have good boxes. So we're looking at a total of 17 ambulances throughout the next year and a half.
Kind to say my numbers were skewed. They were completely wrong. That's fine. I'll take it.
Okay. I'm being nice.
No, that's good. I appreciate that. But the ones we have in hand look amazing because they are made out of F-18 refurbished metal. And they're no, but they are painted on the outside to represent the Blue Angels, right?
That is correct. They are Blue Angels themed. They are not the Blue Angels. They are Blue Angels themed, and it doesn't make them go any faster, but they do look nice.
Oh.
They look pretty cool. So yeah.
Oh, man. No smoke on, no Buno, no nothing. They don't have any
canopy.
No. Okay. Well, but still they look cool.
No.
But yes, it is my understanding that we have had some issues with them, and they're Horton, right? That Horton is the manufacturer?
Yeah, they're Horton. So when they came in, there was a little couple of quality control things that the shop let them go with. So they're having to fix those things while they're here. No big deal. We always, even with fire trucks and everything, we do a punch list when we go to the manufacturer. And if they didn't complete it, then, we don't want to receipt. We don't want to just take them because now we own them at that moment. But so they're finishing the little punch list. And then what we got to do is upfit them. So with stuff we got to put in, radios, we got to put the cradle points in. We got to put the MTDs in. We've got to get the brackets mounted for the life pack. So there's some stuff that we still have to do to get those things in service. It's not once they hit the ground, they're turnkey and ready to go. There's a lot that we have to upfit to make sure they're ready for our operation.
Okay, so in my mind, there are 3 components to an end result ambulance on the road. One would be the physical functionality of the truck as a truck. 2 would be the the EMS elements of the truck that contribute to healthcare and life saving. And then 3 would be the county added things, like you say, communications equipment and stuff on the end. If I understand you correctly, 1 is fine, 3 is your responsibility. It's the stuff with 2 that maybe wasn't quite done right that you're still working on with Horton.
Just two. They did send representatives down here, and they're fixing this thing right now, I guess, sir.
Okay. But the trucks run great. That's not the issue. It's just that some of the stuff related to EMS. Okay,
that's
perfect.
Correct. That's correct.
Obviously, one of the big subjects we've been talking about for a year or so now, since Commissioner Bergosh really has made such a push to expand public beach access, whether it's the discovery that the leases actually allow people to walk out on the beach, or opening one of the beach accesses last year, or whatever. But we had a drowning, actually, too, last year. There's really high profile, and that's not the first or only one we've ever had. Staffing that beach with guards, you're going to put up 1 tower, which the county bought with local option sales tax money, and then you're going to put roaming trucks with guards in them, which is common. That's what you do. How many staff do you need to make this happen? And is there any equipment that you don't yet have to make this happen?
Good question. So right now, what it looks like is 3 additional staff for Perdita Key. We already covered Johnson's Beach as we right now. So there's 3 out there at Johnson's Beach. So we'll put 3 more at Beach Access for Beach Access 2, we'll put a lifeguard stand. And that's the only piece of equipment that we do not have right now is the lifeguard stand itself. It's en route, so it should be here mid-April, and we'll have it drop shipped to Beach Access 2. Because the accesses are so limited, and we don't have the entire stretch of the beach like we do at Pensacola Beach, where we can just go up and down the beach in a truck, we do have enough vehicles at Pensacola Beach to take a vehicle and put it on the key. So we'll put 3 people, 2 in the lifeguard stand at Access 2. and then we'll put one in a truck roving from 1, 3, and 4. And what they're going to be doing is getting out, making contact with the people out on the beach. Right now we have nothing. So, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 4, there's no lifeguard presence. There's nobody talking to them. There's nobody telling them the warnings or telling them what dangers are out there. So, you know, even that one person in a truck going out on the accesses at 1, 3, and 4 and saying, hey, guys, just understand that the surf's a little rough today. Please be careful. Avoid these areas. We think we can prevent a lot by just talking and verbalizing to people and do a lot of preventative stuff.
Very good. And that, I know you had gone out there with AJ yesterday, Alex Johnson, deputy lifeguard, or is under Dave Greenwood at the beach. You'd gone out there yesterday to look, and you basically, that had been your plan going in, and that is still your plan now that you've looked at it?
It is. We might modify or tweak a couple of things with the warning systems or anything, but that's where we have kind of settled out right now, that, you know, a lifeguard stand with 2 lifeguards at 2, a roving patrol at, in the vehicle. There's some logistical things we're going to have to work out. You know, these are a lot of them are under 18 years old. So, you know, working out lunches and rotating people out. So we have to work. He's working through a schedule on that.
Okay.
But as far as the rest of the equipment, we do have the rest of the equipment. That's no problem. You know, and I want everybody to understand that while we say this is going to be the plan right now, if we find something that works better or we need to tweak it, it's subject to change. It's not hard set in stone. So we're gonna work it, see how it goes, and if we need to modify it, we'll modify it. But that's what we're generally thinking right now.
One of the questions that I have been raising about the staffing of lifeguards out on Perdido Key is we don't have a massive surplus in lifeguards. In fact, my perception is that we're always sort of just barely have enough, or maybe we're a little bit short. You know, I know Dave Greenwood does a great job trying to recruit and train and all that, but we just don't have a big surplus of lifeguards. So where are the 3 going to come from? How much of a challenge is it going to be? And are we going to have to pull guards off of Pensacola Beach to make this happen?
Well, that's a potential, and that's something AJ's going to be working with me on, and that's what he's going to be. That's some of the staffing stuff and some of the logistical stuff that AJ's going to be looking at. How many do we have? How many is going to come back starting in May? We're looking at staffing Perdido Key at the same time we do the full staffing of Pensacola Beach. So we're not doing anything early right now. We're looking at May 23rd through August the 11th is what we're looking at. So hopefully we'll look at staffing levels, see that we do have enough, at least 3 people that we can put out there at Perdido Key. But that's something as we get closer, we'll identify that we have the people or don't, and then we'll determine what's the priorities and how we're going to do these things. This is what AJ and I had a discussion about yesterday. So, but we'll have these discussions.
Okay. So I don't want to put words in your mouth. I want to ask you, depending on how many kids show up, how many we can get trained, certified and all of that for the full season, when we're at maximum staffing, we, at this point, it's possible or likely, I don't know which, that the number of guards available to work on Pensacola Beach will have to be diminished somewhat in order to provide guards at Perdido Key. Is that, you tell me.
It is a potential, but we don't know just yet. We think that we have the numbers to be able to pull it off at both locations, honestly. Okay. So, you know, every year we do Gulf Islands National Seashore as well. And, you know, last year we didn't get to do Langdon Beach or Opal Beach as much as we wanted to. When we had upstaffing, so those are some of the areas we have to look at as well. But it is possibly, and we have 56 people, I think was Dave said, come try it out and pass the test that we're onboarding. So we'll look at that manpower and see if, you know, potentially it might not affect Pensacola Beach at all, but potentially it might. We don't know just yet. So.
Okay. Just a logistics question, because as you got to talking about it, made me realize something. One of the advantages of having continuous beach and public access out on Pensacola Beach is that the trucks can go directly to the area and they can go right back and forth up and down the beach. Obviously, as you said, at Perdido Key, they cannot. Although, my understanding, again, with some of the leases, I don't know, can you drive a truck across those areas where the public can access? And if there is a call out, you know, you need to respond to something at 4 and your truck is at 1, do you have to go back out onto Perdido Key Drive and then back out again, or can you just go right down the beach and get to them?
We will go back out on Perdido Key Drive and go down the beach to get to them. Unfortunately, it's not like Pensacola Beach where we just have continuous property and get straight to them. We have to go back out on the road. And that's, even as they're making their rounds, they're going to have to go back out on Perdido Key Drive and go to each access and then kind of walk out there. So because we're still dealing with the lease issue and all that and not understanding 75 foot to the water. That's not a lot.
Yeah.
So we don't want people driving within that range. So.
Okay. Yeah, and that's what I was concerned about. And that's so. I mean, it's very inconvenient as an area to patrol compared to, for example, Pensacola Beach. So. I appreciate that. Man, I told you, you know, we have like 10 things to get to, and we've gotten to two of them. so you,
right.
your folks, Scambi Fire Rescue, responded to a fire at the materials recycling facility this week. Is that right? How big was it? How bad was it?
That is correct. I think it was, I think it affected some machinery or some equipment in there. I'm not 100% sure. I'll be honest with you. I didn't even report yesterday. I got so busy. But I do know the MRF was caught fire, what was it, Tuesday afternoon.
Okay.
When they arrived on scene, heavy black smoke showing. My understanding is I think it was a lithium ion battery. I'm not 100% sure. Don't quote me on that. But I don't know that they put it out of service. Or what the extent of the damage was, I'll be honest with you.
Okay, fair enough. I also just wanted to follow up with you. Obviously, you know, there's been a lot of controversy within EMS, the union being very frustrated with Chief Torsell. We've talked with Wes about that. There was a follow-up meeting after that with the union leaders. Where are we at in terms of action plan following all of that? Anything you can tell us? I know a lot of that stuff is going to be handled internally, not necessarily for public consumption, but where do you think we're at?
No, absolutely. Right now, Wes and Debbie finished a meeting up with staff yesterday, individuals who wanted to, reserve a slot to talk to Wes and Debbie. And they went Monday and Wednesday, spoke with staff. They're compiling their notes. We're going to sit down and look at everything that was brought forward. What we need to do to, how do we invoke change? Where's the missing connection here, and how do we link that up? But they've talked to staff. They've talked to the executive board of the union. Wes and Debbie's talked to me, and we've sat down and we're going to formalize a plan now that we have all the notes and talk to everybody who wants to come forward. And we'll formalize a plan and go forward from there. That's where we're at right now. So everybody, the tour of talking to everybody and getting everybody's perspective is kind of over with. So now we're just going to, formalize a plan.
And now just like a super detailed question, but I assume the answer is yes. And you've talked to all four shifts. It's not just one shift. It's all four shifts that had an opportunity to give their feedback.
It was all four shifts. That is correct. And everybody had an opportunity to give feedback. We made sure it was either on their day off or if they were working off immediately. So everybody had an opportunity. Absolutely all four shifts had an opportunity to make their voice heard. Yes.
Very good. Eric Gilmore, I left at least half of my questions for you on the table, but we'll ask you another time because we do talk occasionally. He is the director of public safety for Escambia County, and he assures me that the new ambulances are no faster than the traditional ambulances, which is disappointing to those of us who are Blue Angels fans. But okay, Eric, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you do keeping us safe and keeping us informed, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.